Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 1. And if you're checking a particular Bible, it's on page 433 in your pew Bible. And if you're using a Bible at home, I couldn't tell you exactly because of the various translations. So let us begin. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And then our gospel lesson from Luke 6, chapter 17 through 26. Let us hear now God's word. He came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, your word lights our path and guides our hearts. It challenges us to both be better, but also to live into all of the various teachings and messages you have for us. Lord, may your word light our path and guide our hearts today, tomorrow, and every day as we live out your call, as we live out the call to the church to go forth and bring the good news. Be with us, Lord, and watch over us as we listen to what you are saying. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Amen. It's hard when I look at the Sermon on the Mount and then preach on it. I have enough of a hard time listening to other ministers and not being hypercritical, but here I'm less hypercritical of the scripture and more hypercritical of myself. As we read here, Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray, to be alone for a time of solitude, and then he comes down and he preaches. As he begins to preach, you can hear an almost energized level of being. You can hear the energy almost crackling around as people come from all around, all the way down to Jerusalem, all the way north to Sidon, all around. People are coming to hear him, to be healed by him. It's almost got a Super Bowl-like atmosphere, except you're not going to be disappointed with Jesus like you might have been disappointed watching Sunday's game last week. The fact of the matter is the air is charged around Jesus as he does all of this. You think about how it is so charged that people just want to touch him to be healed. And that might cause you to think about a later moment when a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years reaches out and just touches his robe and she's healed. People are all over pressing on him, trying to be healed. It's a great moment. And it creates certain images in your head. And for me, it's that image of a prize fighter getting ready to enter the ring. All around, he's headed towards. He's got his focus, his singular focus. Jesus is getting ready to preach. And it's charged all around him. The crowd is listening and wondering. You can hear them maybe in the background going, Jesus! Jesus! Cheering him on. But instead of knocking out Apollo Creed, Jesus is going to teach. He's going to knock out, if you will, misconceptions. He's going to prepare and lead everyone. And his teachings begin in a familiar way. Blessed are you. But for every blessed, he gives us a counter drop. Every time he states that one is blessed under a certain condition, he speaks that under the same condition, only the negative side, it is a woe. And everyone, as he starts, gets silent. There's a lyricalness in Jesus preaching here. Jesus says, blessed are, woe to you, woe to you. It is structured so that people could remember these teachings. People could maybe not write them down, but constantly have them with them. That's why lyrics stick with us in songs and poetry, because they are fashioned for that. And Jesus looks at things a little bit differently here. As Jesus preaches, many of the blesseds are what we would term negatives in our world. And many of the woes are times when we would in fact call them blessed. And so we have to look at this dichotomy that Jesus presents, this double ending that Jesus puts before us. As we look at the various blessed R's that open up his sermon on the plain or on the mount, each condition, each time, it deals with a particular period in which a person does not feel blessed. When we're hungry, when we're weeping, when we are poor, as well as the greater part of being reviled and hated for following Christ. These are not what we would sit down and say are moments when we should be grateful and blessed. But that isn't to say that we are not blessed in those moments. It's incredibly difficult in those moments to look beyond what is happening in the immediate. It's hard to look in that moment and see how God is with you, how God is looking out for you. As I sat down and taught my church history class, I began to think about all these different ways in which the church faces a particular time and place, and yet the dissonance is that the church would acknowledge that they were greatly blessed in that time. Not because things were easy, not because things were going well, but because they knew in those times that God was surely present and with them. It's that general appreciation that when we are where we are, God is with us. It's that point in which, yes, all of these are hard and terrible points in our lives, but they are also moments where God is present with us. Jesus isn't necessarily rewriting everything. He is pointing to us that things, yes, are bad, but we are still blessed in these moments. But Jesus also has a second level that is in these blessings as well. Because Jesus doesn't deal well or deal often in the straightforward one lesson means one lesson. Jesus always has a greater meaning. We'll get to that after we look at the woes. Now, as we assess the woes, we're also pointed to the idea that God judges things a little bit differently than we do. We see it through the book of Kings and all the ratings that the kings have. There is one thing that matters for God. How does that king exist as a follower of God? Not how's the economy doing, not how things are going in terms of trade with other countries, not how wars are going. God cares about how faithful the king is, how faithful the people are. That is a good king. And so often we see those moments where God flips things upside down. And so when Jesus talks about those who are blessed and those who are weeping, God is turning that script. He's layering it and dealing with it. Now, as we look at these parts, the woes and the blesseds, there is one issue involved in both. Can we see what's going on? Can we see the moment? When I think of these moments, I think of those times in my life when I have lost my parents, when we lost our son, days in which we just hurt. And it's hard not to see further down the road. It's hard to feel blessed in those moments because you are trying to take one step in front of the other and deal with the various problems. But again, that doesn't mean that you are not blessed, because all around you are often your blessings. Maybe it's your church saying, you know what, take a day, take a few weeks, deal with your grief. Maybe it's a family member who drives a three-hour drive in an hour and a half and doesn't get pulled over. Is that a blessing? It sure is. Maybe it's your in-laws showing up and making soup, enough soup to float the ark, but enough soup to feed you for days so you can be present in your grief. The reality is, it's being able to see these blessings when you think of woes. But here's the piece. In what we traditionally would call moments of blessing and blessedness, those actual woes that Jesus points out, those are the moments in which we struggle the most to see how blessed we are. When things are going well, we have trouble seeing our blessings. When you mention riches, being filled, laughing, and being thought well of, you're not thinking of how blessed you are. You're just enjoying the moment. But Jesus points out each of these. Each of these because they are transient. These come and go. Weeping and mourning turns into joy. Joy turns into mourning. All of them are not things that last forever. Each one of them. Even riches don't last forever. being thought well of, Jesus lays it out in there. Yeah, people are thinking well of you right now, but they also thought well of the false prophets. Each one here is mirrored, the good and the bad, the happy, the sad. Every point here comes and goes. But what matters the most is whether or not we see the blessedness or see what is coming else. The problem that exists is, can we see how blessed we are? Can we see all the ways in which God is and has blessed us? Or do we treat it as some sort of entitlement that is given to us? Is it a case of, as we say with the kids, we've got a case of the gimmies? Well, things shouldn't be bad because we follow God, so God should make everything good. But that's not how things are. God is with us in the good. God is with us in the bad. Now, there are a few other pieces at work here, because Jesus is going to people who are experiencing the realities of life, the good, the bad, and everything in between. Jesus goes to average, normal people. And as we consider those average, normal people, we also know that Jesus is bringing to them one thing in these blessings and woes, and that is hope. And I know what you're saying. How do you get hope out of woes? It's because when you understand the transientness of these things, the transientness of the highs and the peaks, you understand that the blessedness from God is that straight line in the middle. Back when I was doing engineering and taking really high levels of math, you would have curves, and the curves would go like this. And that's the woes and blessings of our lives. Here and there, here and there. But one thing is always constant, and that is the blessings from God. That is the straight line through the middle of that curve. And every time we're at the low, that point on the compass, that blessing from God, that watching over us, watching with us, that is forever. But there's another level here. There's another piece here. It's appreciating every blessing that you do have. Appreciating where God is in those woes. Seeing all that God has given you. You see, if you remember when you are laughing, those times when you weren't, when you remember when you are in the thick of grief, those times when you did laugh, those times you did have joy, you can remember that this too shall pass. This too will get you to the other side. And the one who is always with you as you get to the other side is Christ. You see, Christ isn't as much condemning those things that are so-called woes as pushing and driving us to understand those woes, pushing us to understand the curve of life. He wants our attention to be focused not on those blessings, not on the woes, but on God's kingdom and how we can serve in there. That's the beauty here. Because in the transientness of that curve, in the moving from blessing to woe, and how quickly that often happens, we see one constant, and that is God. That is God with us, God comforting us, God blessing us, even when woe is all around us. The challenge for us is, can we, in those points of being most blessed, that Jesus would call woes, can we act as if we are blessed and remember those times when we had woeful moments and pay it forward? Can we give from our abundance? When we are full, can we remember when we were hungry and help those who are hungry? Can we, when we are filled and rich, be able to remember those times when we were not and help those who aren't? That is the push and pull. On the one hand, it is to remember that we are both blessed, but also that when we are blessed, we are called to live and to serve. It's the challenge that Christ sets out. And this is just the start of the sermon. This is just the beginning of his sermon, to give us a challenge to appreciate our blessings, to play our blessings forward, to remember that no matter how woeful things seem, God is with us. All of this, the woes and the blessings, the balancing act of them all, are what we are called to be and to do as his people. In his name, let us live and serve. Remember how blessed we are. Amen. At this time,